Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be their next 5-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to CropMetcalf.com. You can join their team today. It is a Game Show Wednesday brought to you by our friends at Wendy's. A whole new way to nug. At stake today, we have a Wendy's $50 gift card. We have a pair of tickets to HF Festival at Nationals Park and a pair of tickets to Limp Bizkit at Jiffy Lube Live. That show is this Sunday, by the way.
Speaking of gift cards, I don't think we mentioned this, Cakes and I, when we were talking about our media day party, happy hour on Monday with the Commanders. But they had, I guarantee you, Snyder never did this, but everyone who was invited, there was an envelope on a table.
You got a little gift.
Yes.
They gave us all gift cards.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. What did you get? I got Wawa. What did you get?
I got a Wawa gift card.
Yes. They gave
as a parting gift.
They gave us gift cards.
It was very nice.
A nice.
Unexpected. You know what? Nice touch.
It was. It was a nice touch.
That's all.
That was unexpected.
That's all that is.
I like gifts.
Sure. Who doesn't like a gift?
So I gave the gift card to my daughter because there's a Wawa in Blacksburg.
Very good. Perfect.
So you can get some gas.
Excellent. All right, we're going to play, because this is the first day of practice for training camp, we're going to play Name That New Commander.
Okay.
It's very simple. I'm going to give 2 little nuggets on one of the new commanders, new to the squad in 2024. If you name that new commander, you win. You don't even have to compete with anybody. We'll just pull up whoever's in line. If you answer it correctly, you win a prize. We're trying to make it easy for the listeners today.
All right.
That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to give away
And what
the
are we giving away again? We're giving away HF
Wendy's,
Festival.
Wendy's $50 gift card.
Wendy's.
HF Festival tickets. Limp Bizkit tickets.
Okay.
Got a lot of good stuff.
Yesterday we did the Fact or Fiction on the HF Festival bands, which
was
very
correct.
Cool.
Yep.
Let's go to Steve.
Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
Steve, I need you to name this new commander. I played for the Carolina Panthers from 21 to 23, and I just moved into Bish Bucks' neighborhood. Name that new commander.
Frankie Louvu.
Frankie Louvu. Yes, you win. See how easy that was? You've won a $50 gift card brought to you by Wendy's. The best nugs are now even better. Wendy's new saucy nugs. Take the nugs you love and sauce them up in bold flavors, including buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic, parmesan, and spicy ghost pepper. Try them all today for a whole new way to nug. It's got to be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later at participating U.S. Wendy's. Hours may vary by location. All right, who's up next?
Man, Frankie Louvu has been in the league for 6 years. This is his 7th year.
Started with the Jets.
He was there for 3 and then signed the deal with the Carolina Panthers.
Correct.
And now, obviously, with Washington. Yeah, 27 years old, already in year 7.
Yep,
good for him. Making big dollars.
Got a nice little deal from the Commanders, so good for him.
Yes, he did.
Let's go to Ricky. How long is his deal?
I think he signed a 3-year deal.
He's one of the few guys that signed a
3 years. I want to say about $40 million.
Nice.
Yeah, it's nice coin. Good for him.
Let's go to Ricky. Hey, Ricky, Front Royal. Hey, what's up, buddy?
Not much. What's going on, Josh?
What's up, Ricky? I need you to name this new commander. I won a Super Bowl with the Eagles, and I was signed to bring a veteran presence to the tight end room.
Zach Ertz.
Zach Ertz? See, I told you this game is easy.
It is.
He wins. You get 2 tickets to HF Festival Saturday, September 21st at Nats Park, featuring the Postal Service, Death Cab for Cutie, Incubus, Bush Garbage, Jimmy Eat World, and many more. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events. All right, 2 prizes down, 1 still left.
Oh, we still have more.
We have Limp Bizkit tickets, EB. You can go see Fred Durst Sunday.
All right, let's go. Let me see here. You know what? In honor of Valdez, let's go to Dan in the Dina, Pasadena. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, guys?
All right, Dan in the Dina. Name this new commander. I was the number two overall pick in the 2015 NFL draft. The Commanders are the fifth NFL team I will have played for. Name that new Commander.
Oh, my goodness. You know, honestly, I have no clue.
He cannot name that new Commander. Sorry, sir. Yeah. Wanted to hook up the guy from the Dina. Just couldn't.
That's right.
Couldn't
all
pull
right,
it.
Sorry, buddy. All right, let's go to Mario.
Mario.
Fairfax.
All right, Mario, I'm going to give you a different question. Name this new Commander. I love fantasy football, and I caught a career-high 107 passes in 2022 as a running back.
That's easy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh!
Yeah, I mean, you don't know Austin Eckler?
That's easy.
I mean, he might be the most high-profile new Commander outside of Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Like, that's a pretty big name. I thought that was a layup.
That was a layup.
Wasn't that easy?
Well, I thought the other one was a layup, too.
All right, let's go. Think. We still have more, right?
Yeah, sure.
Let's go to Eddie in Manassas.
Hey, Eddie. What's going on, guys?
Eddie, I think this is an easy one. Name this new Commander. I'm a lock Hall of Famer. I signed a one-year, $6.5 million deal to mentor the linebackers.
Give me Bobby Wagner.
There you
Bobby
go.
Wagner for the dub. You have won two tickets to Loserville 2024. Limp Bizkit, Bones, Nate No Face, Corey Feldman, and Riff Raff this Sunday at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale right now. For tickets and more event info, you can visit thefandc.com/events, courtesy of Live Nation.
All right, nice job there, buddy. You know, we mentioned Manassas. That used to be our wheelhouse. I assume it still is. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about maybe getting out there again a little bit.
Big Junkies Hub, Manassas.
Doing some appearances. We got to go out to Manassas.
I agree.
I actually would like to go out there.
Mm-hmm.
I know not many people like to go to Manassas. That was our wheelhouse.
Good. Please have us
tons
in Manassas.
Of listeners
I feel
Manassas.
Like Manassas is a...
Manassas, Woodbridge, Big Junks.
Right. I know I goof on Laurel a lot.
Spot.
And Woodbridge is kind of like Virginia's Laurel, but man, it is
people love the junks out there. I don't know what to tell you.
It's a central spot.
Yes.
For the junks. So we need to get out there, Cakes. We need to do a bar appearance or something. Drag Lurch's ass out there.
I just haven't seen many emails or.
It's just a matter of doing it. We just got to do it.
Yeah.
Got to make it happen.
We might have to do it.
That's going to be in September or October.
Yeah.
Because no one's around in August.
That's true. We go there in August, we'll feel disappointed when nobody's there.
Yeah, well, I'm saying the junkies aren't around.
Yeah, Jason's about to traipse off to Northern NorCal
in
a few days.
You're going. I'm going. Cakes is going to be gone for 2 weeks.
That's correct.
Right.
I'm going to come back, and it's going to be like, oh, the NFL season's basically upon us. Pretty close.
Are you doing 2 weeks away, or are you doing two just... I'm doing my week
in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And then I'll come back.
And then
we're smack dab in the middle of the MGM National Harbor huge poker summer series.
Oh.
So I'll be, home away from home.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you going to get your boy in on one of the Wednesday night joints?
Yes.
You
just
are.
Let me know. Just let me know when you're free. Most Wednesdays you're free.
I think
most
when you come back from your 2 weeks, the preseason would have been might even be done.
I think it is pretty much over.
There might be one more game, but you're pretty much gone for the entire preseason.
For the most part, yeah. I think I leave the day of the first preseason game against the Jets.
That's the 10th.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, so when you come back, I think they would have already played three games.
I think you're right.
It's over. You're going to miss the whole preseason.
That's good. The preseason is such a letdown.
You're looking forward to this preseason for obvious reasons.
I am, but he's just going to tease us.
Okay.
It's going to be some handoffs.
I know.
A couple screens.
You still want to see it.
What time today am I going to start seeing videos from Ashburn of training camp practice?
Well, you were
that's what I need to know.
You were telling me in the latest Hard Knocks, they were kind of highlighting Jaden Daniels throwing to Malik Nabers.
Well, they're
right?
kind of drilling down on the Giants, scouting, pre-combine, pre-draft. They're going to like the pro days and all the different. It's amazing how much travel goes in. And it's not just the rank and file grunt personnel people. Like, they show Daboll and Shane like hopping on the private, tiny little private jet, by the way. I would have expected a little bit bigger, like something with a little more substance. Like, when I see it take off and land, I'm like, all right, it's not a prop plane, but it's not that far away from a prop plane.
Did they show you
plane.
The inside? How many seats were it? It's 6-seater, 8-seater?
I would guess around that size. It looks relatively small.
Really? All right.
Tanya Snyder's plane is for sale. Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
Has that been said? Sorry, that's my only Tanya Snyder.
It's out there
that I have. I saw that. The Snyders are selling a lot of
they're selling a lot of those houses. Well, they gave the one house away for charity.
That's true.
Right.
So that was a $40 million write off.
Well, I mean, when your biggest asset sells for over $6 billion on the market,
you need some.
You can just give away like a $40 million home. You don't care.
Right. Get a.
You
get
just
a
laugh
tax
at that that sort of money.
Has that been said?
Yes, it has been said, Tanya. Thank you.
So annoying.
But yeah, they did show, obviously, the LSU Pro Day because the Giants drafted Malik Nabers. So they show him just catching dimes from one Jaden Daniels, which is nice to see.
Did you hear, was there any more scuttlebutt where they were jocking Jaden or they were only talking?
I mean, they also showed Jaden coming in for a visit with the Giants.
And how was he?
And it's funny, man, because like.
He's chill, right?
Well, he's chill, but the most chill guy seemingly is Daboll. Because I'm going to do my Daboll impression.
Yeah.
He's in the office. He's in Joe Shane's office. And he's on his couch across from Shane's desk. And he's just like this. He's got his feet up like this. He's leaning back. His gut's hanging out. And Jaden's like right over there. Yeah. And Jaden sits down. And the first thing, he's like, all right, man, I'm not going to BS you here. Like, first thing, do you want to be here? And, you know, it's I understand the question. Like,
that's kind of an interesting question.
Like, you want to be here, like in New York, all the pressure, spotlight. You're in the fishbowl, media capital of the world, type of deal.
Right.
But like his nonchalance and his body language is like what you're looking at.
But was he
here.
Doing that because he read Jaden as a guy that didn't seem like he wanted to be there?
I think he's just trying to get a feel for him.
Was Jaden giving off the vibe? I'm going through the motions here. I don't really want to be here.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, he also knew deep down that he had no shot of getting him.
Right. But then
first episode, he mentioned he would trade up.
Yeah,
right away, they said,
show Daboll in this most recent episode.
But it would take a boatload.
Would you
trade
up for Jaden? He's like, yeah, he's a guy I'd trade up.
Yeah, but they, you know.
But it was cool also to see.
It's one thing to want to trade up, but to actually make that happen, it's very difficult.
Like, understood.
Especially when you knew Washington needed a quarterback.
During the top 30 visits, it was cool, too, to see, like, they just have the top three wideouts in the draft sitting side by side in, like, a film room. I think it was the wideout coach or somebody on the offense. It wasn't the offensive coordinator, but. It's Nabers here, Marvin Harrison Jr., Roma Dunze, just lined up, you know, and they're taking him through the film and through the paces.
I got to watch that.
It's just
episode.
Cool to see that behind the scenes, like how intricate it is and the fact that they're sitting there together and they're just kind
of. It's a very cool show.
Yeah. It's so
Daboll,
well
done. Daboll might be chill in February or March, whenever they film that.
Yeah.
But during games, he gets fired up.
Oh, yeah. He gets
fired up. He's the opposite of chill.
I told you this story before, but about 2 years ago, I was in a bar. With Brian Daboll's son, who's like best friends with one of Stevie's teammates. And it was after a game and we were arguing about Daniel Jones. And I think at that time it was Carson Wentz, to be honest with you. And just long story short, nice kid, really liked him. Brian Daboll eventually was getting rid of an 85-inch TV and it ended up in the lacrosse house in Poughkeepsie at Marist.
Really?
Yes. So the boys watched football all season.
On Daboll's TV.
On Daboll's old TV that he didn't want anymore.
85-incher.
85-incher. They had it in there. And, like, just imagine the worst college house in history.
Just his Nubbins TV he had no use for whatsoever.
I mean, it's not that Nubbins. It's 85-incher.
It's pretty
and
solid.
And those are, you know, fairly newish.
Right.
You know, they haven't been around for 100 years.
Right.
But I guess he was upgrading or whatever.
Sure.
Oh,
that's the TV was so expendable.
That's my Brian Daboll story.
Yes. Very good. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into some audio from Ron Rivera talking about QBs. We'll get into that next here on The Fan.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
I hope EB is wearing some sort of watch that monitors his blood pressure because I'm going to guess it might spike during this next segment. We're going to get some audio of former Commanders head coach Ron Rivera. He joined Adam Schefter yesterday on his podcast, and he was talking about, we have two clips that we're going to play. We're going to go back in time to when he drafted Chase Young at number 2 in the 2020 draft. Adam Schefter asks him basically, do you regret not taking a quarterback? I'm paraphrasing. Let's listen to that first clip. This is Adam Schefter with former Commanders head coach Ron Rivera.
Let me go back to 2020 for a moment, because the Commanders had the second overall pick, and you mentioned the team would work on all the quarterbacks at that time, including Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa. COVID happens. You wind up taking the safe pick, Chase Young, at number 2. How do you look back at that draft and that selection at that time?
Well, the hard part is we didn't have the benefit of having the extra mini camp, the one that you could have had before training camp, to see exactly what we had and who we had. We didn't have an opportunity to really work on those things and see where we really truly stood. And so because of that, knowing what we knew, and who we had, we decided to go with Chase. We really believe that Chase could make an impact, and he did. And the unfortunate part was he had suffered the knee injury a year later.
Which of those quarterbacks, if you could go back on it, did you like at that time? Do you remember that?
I think we felt pretty good about Justin Herbert. It was somebody that we liked looking at. And hindsight is easy because it is an opportunity to look back and say, we could have done that. We could have. We really could have. But who knows? I mean, there's some guys that really stepped up and became guys.
Whatever.
Guys.
Listen, I know Drabby was a Justin Herbert guy, but having hosted this show for 28 years and following this team as closely as ever, that whole draft was about tanking for Tua. I remember saying on draft day that if Tua hits, no matter how good Chase is, if Tua hits, that we're going to regret this pick. And because Tua was the guy that, even though he had the hip injury and that's why he slipped, that was the one that people were speculating about. Herbert was kind of a surprise.
But for him to blame it on, we didn't have a mini camp and we just didn't know what we had.
I just think it's funny. He said, guys become guys.
That is maddening that he just is blaming it on, we didn't have enough time to properly evaluate the personnel that we had on hand. So we just went with Chase Young.
Is he saying that because he inherited Haskins and he still didn't know what he actually had? I think that's what he's just alluding to. Remember, he inherited Haskins. If you go back in that time,
they did,
and he didn't really know what he had. He had an owner in his ear telling him that I want you to play the Haskins.
Right.
And the truth is, he pandered to the owner.
That's what it was,
and played Haskins. That's the truth.
So, there's some guys that really stepped up and became guys.
I don't whatever that means. I don't think for a second they pondered drafting Justin Herbert. Just so you know that. I don't think for a second. I think they were locked in on Chase, and I think Schefter described it perfectly. It was a safe pick.
They may have considered it, but it might have gotten shot down by Snyder.
I think happened.
What are you guys talking about, Justin Herbert? We have Dwayne Haskins.
Remember,
my hand-picked
he guy. Inherited Haskins. This is the first year he's there. It's his first year on the staff. Snyder obviously picked Haskins. I guarantee you, he said, this is our quarterback.
And I know
we're not taking a quarterback at number 2 overall.
Yeah, I know that it's happened recently a couple times. But it doesn't really happen. It's a new phenomenon where you draft a quarterback in the first round. even though we said all along we thought Haskins was overdrafted, you don't take back-to-back first-round quarterbacks. Now, people are doing that now. It's kind of a trendy thing. We've seen it a couple times. But generally, that's not a thing.
You don't do it unless you know that you botched the pick and the guy just flat-out sucks.
Well, then why did Ron take the job? He was hired in 5 minutes after the season was ended, after he was fired in the middle of the year. He clearly sat down with Snyder. All he had to say is, hey, look, man, Haskins sucks. Right. We got three awesome quarterbacks that are going to be at the top of the draft.
Because he didn't know that. He's too dumb to know that. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's a big part of the problem.
Right. He sucks. He didn't know that Haskins sucked, and he was sold that Haskins was going to be good. I'm telling you, they never considered drafting Herbert.
Everybody in the city knew Haskins sucked after 10 minutes.
Yeah, but
he was smarter than him. Not know?
And maybe if he says that, Snyder says, okay, well, you're not my guy.
Right.
Well, and he wanted the job.
Well, then I would say.
Right. Sometimes he wanted the job to get $25 million or whatever.
Correct.
Well, how much did he get?
He got a lot.
Did he get more than $25 million?
I think he got like
six or seven,
five or six, something like that, maybe more.
Yeah. So he just went with it.
Yeah. The guy's gonna give me $25 million, and we'll try his kid. You know, he probably laughed at his wife and said, "Yeah, he thinks Haskins is good. I don't, but he's giving me $25 million."
Right. So, well, I can't turn it down.
I would have played a kid too.
Right. The guy throws me a $25 million life jacket. I'm going to grab it.
But I just don't like this sort of we were really leaning towards Justin Herbert. No, you weren't. You were never going to take
him. They were always going to take Chase.
You're always going to take Chase. In fact, I would argue if you were going to take anybody, you were going to take Tua.
And there was a whiff because, you know, Chase had a good rookie year. He didn't do anything
after that. It was a whiff and a long line of personnel whiffs for
Correct.
Ron.
Correct.
Why are you talking now? Go away.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Just yesterday, Christian Darrisaw, a guy who was in the Jamin Davis draft, who was picked after Jamin Davis, signed an extension with the Minnesota Vikings for big money, and Jamin Davis hasn't had his fifth-year option picked up. Mm-hmm. Another Ron legacy. So it doesn't end there. So then Ron talks now about the current quarterback situation with the Washington Commanders with Jaden Daniels, and here's his take on that.
You mentioned Jaden Daniels. Had you studied him at all, knowing that you were going to have a high pick?
Yes. You know, at the end of, you know, during that part, you always start looking ahead and seeing. Yes. So I start watching the quarterbacks and thinking, God, this kid's got it. He's got it. And because Cliff Kingsbury's there, I think that was a tremendous pick for him because that offense counts on the quarterback doing a lot and making things happen, in my opinion. And you saw some of the success he had in Arizona. The one thing, though, is that they've got to be able to protect him and protect him, you know, from injury because the young man's going to play all out. And you don't want him to get hurt. You really don't because I think he can be successful in this offense.
If you had stayed there in Washington and you had still been the coach and been an active part of the front office, do you think when the season ended that your organization was going in a Jaden Daniels direction, or was there another guy that you were looking at with that number two overall pick, Ron?
No, that was the quarterback. I really think that was the quarterback. I really do. You look at his ability to prolong the play, to extend the play. Look at his ability to throw the ball downfield and create. Look at his ability to run. I was very fortunate in Carolina. I had, you know, who I thought at the time was one of the best quarterbacks in Cam Newton. I really didn't mean that. And I think that at that time and moment, when you got that guy, you've got to make as much hay as you can. And unfortunately, you know, we got to the Super Bowl, but we didn't get a chance to get back. And that's unfortunate because, you know, when you have that special guy, and Cam really was special for us, you've got to, you know, do the best you can.
So this is Ron, after the kid at the front of the class has already answered the question correctly, raising his hand furiously at the back of the class, trying to answer the question again.
Yeah.
I just don't understand what's going on.
After he told us 100 times, and I agreed with him until he fell apart and you guys ruined him, that Sam Howell, they found their quarterback.
Yeah, he did. He said it multiple times.
We found our quarterback. Yep. So you think he was going to then pivot on himself? I'm not convinced he would. Go away. You're a nice human. Go away.
Here are the
you don't need any more money. I mean, like, I want you to make money. I'm pro capitalism and making money and everything, but you know, no one's going to hire you as a head coach in the NFL. Go be a defense coordinator somewhere in college or you know,
or just go play Pebble.
Hey, yeah, just play golf.
He might be a starter out at Spyglass when you're there at the end of the week.
So think about the top first and second round picks in the 4 years Ron was here.
Right.
Were Chase Young, who's no longer here, and he was a big bust.
Mm-hmm.
Jamin Davis is in a make or break year.
Yeah.
Sam Cosmi, okay, starter, good player,
very solid player,
second round pick. Jahan Dotson, we'll see. Mm-hmm. Had a down year last year. Fedarian Mathis, who I don't even know if he's ever played.
Buster Rooney.
And last year, Emmanuel Forbes and Quan Martin.
Right.
I mean, those are the top seven picks
that
Ron
record.
Rivera's staff made. Checkered at the...
Yeah, it is spotty.
At the very least.
Yeah.
Do you think Ron knows that his coaching tenure is basically over and he's trying to throw his hat in the ring for personnel... On the personnel side.
Personnel?
No. Because he's not really talking about coaching. He's talking about personnel.
Bad as a coach as he was, he's worse at personnel.
I know. We know that here, but people in the NFL circles or in different cities.
Oh, other people know, too.
I think...
because
I
like... he gives an excuse as to why they drafted Chase.
Right.
He gives an excuse as to why they didn't pursue a quarterback.
I think he's trying to protect his legacy more than anything, or just maybe kind of audition again and try to be a media-friendly guy, get some media gigs. I think he knows his head coaching days are definitely done. He'd be lucky. Who's going to hire his old ass?
Go coach in college, or like you said, just be a defensive coordinator or a position coach.
He's attaching his name to Jaden Daniels. He's making you remember. He's attaching his name to Cam Newton. I don't know. I think he's trying to make people think that
he's a personnel guy. But I don't think it'll work. Even if that's his plan, if you're right and that's his plan, all they got to do is look at the resume.
Yeah. Any owner with a quarter of a brain, all they have to do is look at his bungled draft picks and say, I don't want you anywhere near my personnel department.
Like honestly, he just was an atrocious head coach here. A nice guy. Mm-hmm. He was atrocious.
And he made sense. He made sense to come in and bring some legitimacy to the organization when it was in chaos and things were swirling around. But that faded pretty quickly because
he had his own scandal.
I remember saying that I thought it was a great hire because he was professional.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously had a track record.
I was a sucker for the same thing.
Man, what a buffoon I was.
I was a sucker for the same thing.
We all kind of fell for that.
We fell for it.
I think all of us did.
Dude, we did.
The trainer he brought here from Carolina got busted for whatever he was doing.
Yeah, he was selling.
God only knows what he was doing.
What was he selling drugs out of his house? Or
I don't know what he was doing.
House got raided.
Got raided.
Didn't the facility get raided too?
He brought his own drama here. He just constantly brought personnel from Carolina, front office and players. It seemed like that was the only sort of talent group he had any sort of insight on.
Mm-hmm.
All the guys he brought in here were mediocre. His draft picks were brutal.
Terrible.
He changed his game plan not only from season to season, within seasons. I'll never forgive him for starting out his tenure here in D.C. and just punting games and then pivoting midway through the season because they were backdooring their way into the playoffs with a losing record.
Hey, won the NFC East his first year.
And the only reason they got there is because Prescott was hurt that year.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
Yeah, everyone failed around them.
If Dak isn't hurt, they win the division. Bye-bye. They're not going
to But you remember him just like letting the clock run out? Poor clock management.
Oh, the worst.
He was so bad.
Told your blood pressure to go up the segment.
Of all the guys we've had, Jay had 10 times more success than he did. Who else have we had? Shanny had more success than he did.
Zorn.
Zorn was
terrible. I can't say that
Zorn
was better.
Terrible.
Spurrier
was terrible.
Spurrier was bad.
They've had just a list of guys that were just awful.
Spurrier was so bad.
He wanted Dan Snyder's money. He just couldn't. He couldn't believe Dan Snyder was paying him so much.
Well,
he just took it.
He just, you know, he just treated it like it was a part-time job. Coaching football got in the way of his tee times.
Yep, it did.
The fact of the matter.
Yep. All right, when we come back, we will do EB's entertainment page. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we'll talk to Mike Rizzo from the Nats.
We have some breaking news here reading J.P. Finley's Twitter account. This is Dan Quinn on Johnny Newton. He's so ready to go. We were hoping he could get back soon. We're really pumped to see where he is at. He also said that Johnny Newton has absolutely busted his behind to do everything to get ready. We will bring you more Johnny Newton breaking news here. This is happening in real time as we're pulling this up on Twitter to confirm what this news is on Johnny Newton, but it does not sound like he will be ready to go. From the Crop Medcalf 5-star sports desk, Savannah
Avala from the Washington Post. Wow, Johnny Newton activated off NFI after passing his physical. So Johnny Newton, a guy who, you know, was recently placed on the NFI, the non-football injury list, which you can be taken off of, you know, during training camp, he's been activated.
Yep.
Which is a little bit surprising.
He's ready to go.
And a good positive development for the second round rookie.
Yep.
Well, it's huge because their expectations for him, if he's healthy, are through the roof.
They feel like they stole him in the second round at 36 pick, right? And we were talking about Fedarian Mathis, who they drafted in 22 in the second round, and he just has not been able to stay healthy. Now you take another defensive tackle in this past year's draft, Johnny Newton, also in the second round, and they're sitting right there behind Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen. And you kind of wonder what the future is for a guy like Jonathan Allen, since they're taking the second round DTs, and Johnny Newton has a lot of praise.
I'm a little bit surprised.
They're kind of counting on him.
I'm a little surprised it happened this quickly, but Adam Peters was asked about Johnny Newton during the presser along with Dan Quinn yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
Johnny's been outstanding in his rehab, and we've had to hold him back. Nice catch. Yeah. We really had to hold him back. Like he's a monster, and he wants to go, and we got to make sure to reel him back. That's the type of guy he is. And so we've been really pleased with his progress. We put him on NFI. I think we're just going to exercise caution. We're not playing any games anytime soon, but we expect it to be sooner rather than later that we release the reins, and we're going to keep an eye on him, you know, throughout. Like I said, it's July, so we're going to keep an eye on him, but let him develop during training camp as well. He needs to get the reps just like everybody else, and so we're excited where he's at.
I do think that Fedarian Matthews is going to have to Matthews is going to have to make this football team.
Sounds like it.
He's going to have to make this football team.
I mean, when you spend a second-round pick on Johnny Newton that plays the same position, does the same thing as you, but he does it at a much higher level, he does it better.
And
he better flash in this training
game. Yeah. And you got Allen and Payne ahead of you.
Or else he's going to be looking for a new gig.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah. They're expecting big things from him.
I mean, watching the Johnny Newton like highlights on YouTube, that dude just
dominant.
He lives in the other team's backfield.
Yeah.
He is just a disruptor and a just massive man.
Well, I mean, he was
shocking how quickly he moves from as big as he is.
He was All-American, consensus All-American. He was the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, he was just dominant. And, you know, Illinois struggled offensively, so they relied on their defense. But, yeah, I mean, you got to be excited for him if he's going to be healthy, especially at that position. So that's good news for the Commanders that Johnny Newton is ready to rock and roll.
And the fact that you have Payne and Allen there, it's not like you're throwing him to the wolves as a rookie where you're expecting him to play, you know, like however 70% of the snaps, if not more. You can ease him in when those guys need, you know, a little bit of rest on the sideline. You plug in a fresh Johnny Newton that's healthy now.
We just got
a great development.
We just got to make sure that some of these guys that we brought in to provide some pressure from the outside live up to expectations.
Sure. Mm-hmm. You need Dorrance Armstrong to get into double-digit sacks. You need Dante Fowler to do some work there, too.
I need Jamin Davis to flash and have a shocking season in many people's minds. I need him to flash in a pass-rushing
role. He needs it, too. If he wants to
this
get
is a make or break year for him.
It's a huge year for him.
It's a make or break.
They have every reason to try to. Put it this way, if Jamin Davis fails, he only has himself to blame, because I know they're going to give him every opportunity to get on the field and demonstrate that he deserves to be here long term.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know they're going to give him an opportunity.
And if he's just a pass rushing specialist and that's what Dan Quinn is going to turn him into,
fine.
Do that.
That's fine. You have to be great.
If that's what he is, if he's not really just like a linebacker, if he's just a guy that's going to chase the quarterback and terrorize the quarterback,
do that.
That's a good asset to have.
That's
what you can develop him into.
He's my X factor.
And Dan Quinn talked about that during the presser yesterday, is that they're into finding what guys do well and just drilling down on that.
Right.
Let's major in what these guys do well instead of what they don't do. You know, like focus on the positives.
And Ron and Del Rio couldn't figure that out.
No.
Now, maybe, you know, you can blame the coaches, but, you know, you also have to blame the player because, you know, he was a high draft pick. He was a first-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
And he just didn't step it up and play like a first-round draft pick. But, yeah, big year for him. Big.
Big,
but
big.
If Joe Witt finds out that that's his specialty,
yep.
getting after the quarterback, then he'll be an asset.
Do you want to make a bold, bullish prediction on Jamin Davis sack numbers?
No.
No?
I don't because I just don't know. I mean, I just don't know. I put it this way. Here's the number for me that I think he's capable of. Like, 8. Like, I think that's a reasonable number. He plays and they feature him a little bit.
Right.
He should be able to get to the quarterback like 8 times. But if they never play him, well, it'll never happen. There's just too much athleticism to have him just stand on the sideline.
He's played in 45 games. He's gotten to the quarterback 7 times.
Yeah. They didn't feature him that way.
Right.
They had him running all over the field, you know, like a chicken with his head cut off. Just say, hey, go get that guy. That guy with the ball?
Yeah.
Under center? Go get that guy.
I still have a hard time comprehending how Ron and Jack Del Rio, who are both linebackers by trade, couldn't figure out how to put their linebacker, their first-round linebacker, in the best spots to be impactful.
I don't know.
Maybe a lot of it's on the player and less on the coaches.
He did make more plays this past season than he had previous years, but that's not saying much.
Right.
But he did make some more plays. He was kind of the Johnny Davis of the Skins
comp.
For a couple years.
Yeah. Not the comp you want.
It's funny when, you know, these are just people's opinions when they're doing these rankings, these lists, you know, in the middle of July. But the most recent overall roster talent rank that the Commanders had, I think it was on CBS Sports, they had him ranked 30 out of the 32.
For this year.
Yeah. So the overall roster, they ranked them all. And they had, you know, I think they had San Francisco 1 or maybe, you know, Philly or someone like that. But considering they brought all of these different guys in and they made some pretty good draft picks, there's still some people who think this overall roster sucks. When I look, and it's just on paper, but I look at the defensive line, if Allen and Payne can play like they did 2 years ago, they stepped back a little bit last year. But they were playing a ton of plays, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Every time we talked to Jonathan, we were asking how many plays he was in. He's like, I'm playing a lot of plays. But now they draft Johnny Newton, and they bring in Dorrance Armstrong, and they bring in Farrell, and they bring Dante Fowler, who's a vet. Fowler was the third pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So in his prime, he was very good. But I think they got a lot of depth there, and they're relying on the young guys. But I think the defensive line could be pretty damn good.
I'm with you.
Could be a strength.
And
they clearly overhauled the linebacker room.
Linebackers.
Seems like a massive improvement. If Frankie Louvu is as good as build and Bobby Wagner still has something left.
Of course he has something left. He had 160 tackles.
Then that front seven should be pretty good.
When that should make Emmanuel Forbes a little bit better.
I got questions about Forbes, man. Ever since I saw him with the stick figure legs in that picture.
I know, but
I'm shook. I'm shook by that image.
That shouldn't matter.
And
he's a tough kid.
He was a Ron pick.
Yes.
So the fact that he was a Ron pick,
that hurts.
I raise my eyebrows.
Yeah.
I raise all the eyebrows because he was a Ron pick.
Yeah.
Coupled with the fact that there was news coming out of Patriots camp that, is it Christian Gonzalez? Am I getting the name correct?
Yes.
The pick that went right after Forbes.
Right after.
Is turning heads. Second year.
Yeah, he had a good year last year.
So, again.
And then, by the way, there's a reason they took a corner in the second round of this draft.
Well, they need depth.
I'm just saying. I think there's a reason.
I think, well, I think they're know? Also, they were unhappy with St. Juice. I think St. Juice is going to bounce back too. I have a little bit of faith in him. Maybe this is blind homerism, but I have a little bit of faith in St. Juice. I think it's more based on what I've seen him do at this level. Forbes is more of just a hope. And I felt like Forbes did play better as this, when he got that second chance.
When he's not getting isolated on A.J. Brown,
but everyone tend struggles.
To perform better.
Hmm. Everyone struggles against A.J. Brown.
I mean, he's a top five receiver.
Yeah.
But especially a guy who weighs about a buck 80 is going to struggle against A.J.
Yeah.
Brown.
A rookie
when he doesn't have help.
Weighs 120 pounds. Of course he was going to struggle. That was inevitable. I mean, you know, it's almost unfair.
I think I weighed what Forbes weighs now in eighth grade. I'm pretty sure. He's so skinny.
Right.
The guy still needs to add some weight, obviously. All right, when we come back, we will talk some Nats with Mike Rizzo, president and GM of the Nats. He will join us next.
We have some breaking news here reading J.P. Finley's Twitter account. This is Dan Quinn on Johnny Newton. He's so ready to go. We were hoping he could get back soon. We're really pumped to see where he is at. He also said that Johnny Newton has absolutely busted his behind to do everything to get ready. We will bring you more Johnny Newton breaking news here. This is happening in real time as we're pulling this up on Twitter to confirm what this news is on Johnny Newton, but it does not sound like he will be ready to go. From the Crop Medcalf 5-star sports desk, Savannah
Avala from the Washington Post. Wow, Johnny Newton activated off NFI after passing his physical. So Johnny Newton, a guy who, you know, was recently placed on the NFI, the non-football injury list, which you can be taken off of, you know, during training camp, he's been activated.
Yep.
Which is a little bit surprising.
He's ready to go.
And a good positive development for the second round rookie.
Yeah.
Well, it's huge because their expectations for him, if he's healthy, are through the roof.
They feel like they stole him in the second round at 36 pick, right? And we were talking about Fedarian Mathis, who they drafted in 22 in the second round, and he just has not been able to stay healthy. Now you take another defensive tackle in this past year's draft, Johnny Newton, also in the second round, and they're sitting right there behind Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen. And you kind of wonder what the future is for a guy like Jonathan Allen, since they're taking the second round DTs, and Johnny Newton has a lot of praise.
I'm a little bit surprised.
They're kind of counting on him.
I'm a little surprised it happened this quickly, but Adam Peters was asked about Johnny Newton during the presser along with Dan Quinn yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
Johnny's been outstanding in his rehab, and we've had to hold him back. Nice catch.
Yeah.
We really had to hold him back. Like he's a monster, and he wants to go, and we got to make sure to reel him back. That's the type of guy he is. And so we've been really pleased with his progress. We put him on NFI. I think we're just going to exercise caution. We're not playing any games anytime soon, but we expect it to be sooner rather than later that we release the reins, and we're going to keep an eye on him, you know, throughout. Like I said, it's July, so we're going to keep an eye on him, but let him develop during training camp as well. He needs to get the reps just like everybody else, and so we're excited where he's at.
I do think that Fedarian Matthews is going to have to Matthews is going to have to make this football team.
Sounds like it.
He's going to have to make this football team.
I mean, when you spend a second-round pick on Johnny Newton that plays the same position, does the same thing as you, but he does it at a much higher level. He does it better.
And
he better flash in this training
game. Yeah. And
or
you
else
got Allen and Payne ahead of you.
Or else he's going to be looking for a new gig.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah. They're expecting big things from him.
I mean, watching the Johnny Newton like highlights on YouTube, that dude just
dominant.
He lives in the other team's backfield.
Yeah.
He is just a disruptor and a just massive man.
Well, I mean, he was
shocking how quickly he moves from as big as he is.
He was All-American, consensus All-American. He was the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, he was just dominant. And, you know, Illinois struggled offensively, so they relied on their defense. But, yeah, I mean, you got to be excited for him if he's going to be healthy, especially at that position. So that's good news for the Commanders that Johnny Newton is ready to rock and roll.
And the fact that you have Payne and Allen there, it's not like you're throwing him to the wolves as a rookie where you're expecting him to play, you know, like however 70% of the snaps, if not more. You can ease him in when those guys need, you know, a little bit of rest on the sideline. You plug in a fresh Johnny Newton that's healthy now.
We just got
that's a great development.
We just got to make sure that some of these guys that we brought in to provide some pressure from the outside live up to expectations.
Sure. Mm-hmm. You need Dorrance Armstrong to get into double-digit sacks. You need Dante Fowler to do some work there, too.
I need Jamin Davis to flash and have a shocking season in many people's minds. I need him to flash in a pass-rushing
role. He needs it,
role.
Too. If he wants to
this
get
this is a make-or-break year for him.
It's a huge year for him.
It's a make-or-break.
They have every reason to try to... put it this way, if Jamin Davis fails, he only has himself to blame because I know they're going to give him every opportunity to get on the field and demonstrate that he deserves to be here long term.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I know they're going to give him an opportunity.
And if he's just a pass rushing specialist and that's what Dan Quinn is going to turn him into,
fine.
Do that.
That's fine. You have
that,
to be great.
If that's what he is, if he's not really just like a linebacker, if he's just a guy that's going to chase the quarterback and terrorize the quarterback,
do that.
That's a good asset to have.
That's
what you can develop him into.
He's my X factor.
And Dan Quinn talked about that during the presser yesterday, is that they're into finding what guys do well and just drilling down on that.
Right.
Let's major in what these guys do well instead of what they don't do. You know, focus on the positives.
And Ron and Del Rio couldn't figure that out.
No.
Now, maybe, you know, you can blame the coaches, but, you know, you also have to blame the player because, you know, he was a high draft pick. He was a first-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
And he just didn't step it up and play like a first-round draft pick. But, yeah, big year for him. Big.
Big.
But
big.
If Joe Witt finds out that that's his specialty, getting after the quarterback, then he'll be an asset.
Do you want to make a bold, bullish prediction on Jamin Davis sack numbers?
No.
No?
I don't because I just don't know. I mean, I just don't know. I put it this way. Here's the number for me that I think he's capable of. Like, 8. Like, I think that's a reasonable number. He plays and they feature him a little bit.
Right.
He should be able to get to the quarterback. Like 8 times. But if they never play him, well, it'll never happen. There's just too much athleticism to have him just stand on the sideline.
He's played in 45 games. He's gotten to the quarterback 7 times.
Yeah. They didn't feature him that way.
Right.
They had him running all over the field, you know, like a chicken with his head cut off. Just say, hey, go get that guy. That guy with the ball?
Yeah.
Under center? Go get that guy.
I still have a hard time comprehending how Ron and Jack Del Rio, who are both linebackers by trade, couldn't figure out how to put their linebacker, their first-round linebacker, in the best spots to be impactful.
I don't know.
Maybe a lot of it's on the player and less on the coaches.
He did more plays this past season than he had in previous years, but that's not saying much.
Right.
But he did make some more plays. He was kind of the Johnny Davis of the,
of
the Skins
comp.
For a couple years.
Yeah. Not the comp you want.
It's funny when... You know, these are just people's opinions when they're doing these rankings, these lists, you know, in the middle of July. But the most recent overall roster talent rank that the Commanders had, I think it was on CBS Sports. They had him ranked 30 out of 32.
For this year?
For this year.
Yeah.
So the overall roster, they ranked them all. And they had, you know, I think they had San Francisco 1 or maybe, you know, Philly or someone like that. But considering they brought all of these different guys in and they made some pretty good draft picks, there's still some people who think this overall roster sucks. When I look, and it's just on paper, but I look at the defensive line, if Allen and Payne can play like they did 2 years ago, they stepped back a little bit last year. But they were playing a ton of plays, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Every time we talked to Jonathan, we were asking how many plays he was in. He's like, I'm playing a lot of plays. But now they draft Johnny Newton and they bring in Dorrance Armstrong. And they bring in Farrell, and they bring Dante Fowler, who's a vet. Fowler was the third pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So in his prime, he was very good. But I think they got a lot of depth there, and they're relying on the young guys. But I think the defensive line could be pretty damn good.
I'm with you.
Could be a strength.
Could
and
be.
And they clearly overhauled the linebacker room.
linebackers
seems like a massive improvement. If if Frankie Louvu is as good as billed, and Bobby Wagner still has something left,
of course he has something left. He had 150, 160 tackles.
Then that front seven should be pretty good.
When that should make Emmanuel Forbes a little bit better.
I got I got questions about Forbes, man. Ever since I saw him with the stick figure legs in that picture, I'm shook. I'm shook by that image.
That shouldn't matter.
And
he's a tough kid.
He was a Ron pick.
Yes.
So the fact that he was a Ron pick, I raise my eyebrows.
Yeah.
I raise all the eyebrows because he was a Ron pick.
Yeah.
Coupled with the fact that there was news coming out of Patriots camp that, is it Christian Gonzalez? Am I getting the name correct?
Yes.
The pick that went right after Forbes is turning heads. Second year.
Yeah. He had a good year last year.
So, again.
And then, by the way, there's a reason they took a corner in the second round of this draft.
Well, they need depth.
I'm just saying. I think there's a reason.
I think they were unhappy with St. Juice. I think St. Juice is going to bounce back, too. I have a little bit of faith in him. Maybe this is blind homerism, but I have a little bit of faith in St. Juice. I think it's more based on what I've seen him do at this level. Forbes is more of just a hope. And I felt like Forbes did play better when he got that second chance.
When he's not getting isolated on A.J. Brown,
but everyone tend to
perform better.
Hmm.
Everyone struggles against A.J. Brown.
I mean, he's a top five receiver.
Yeah.
But especially a guy who weighs about 180 is going to struggle against A.J. Brown.
When he doesn't have help. Weighs 120 pounds. Of course he was going to struggle. That was inevitable. I mean, you know, it's almost unfair.
I think I weighed what Forbes weighs now in eighth grade. I'm pretty sure. He's so skinny. Right. The guy still needs to add some weight, obviously. All right, when we come back, we will talk some Nats with Mike Rizzo, president and GM of the Nats. He will join us next.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.